The United States is facing long-anticipated growth in the population of people 80 years of age or older. Meanwhile, in recent years, there's been an unexpected contraction in nursing home supply. I'm Stephen Morrissey, managing editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, and I'm talking with Mark Unruh, an associate professor of population health sciences at Weill Cornell Medical College. Dr. Unruh has co-authored a perspective article about the simultaneous pressures of an aging population and decreasing nursing home supply. Dr. Unruh, roughly how many older adults are expected to need long-term services and supports in coming years?
I don't have a specific number for the projected number of people who will need long-term care moving forward. However, currently there are about 1.24 million individuals in the United States receiving care in nursing homes. Now, the population age 80 and older is expected to grow by about 45% over the next decade. This is an age that's associated with elevated risk of disability, dementia, as well as need for assistance with activities of daily living. So even if current nursing home supply holds steady, it's not expected to be sufficient.
And then, as you say in your perspective article, many of the nursing homes that might have cared for those people have closed in the past 10 to 20 years. So how much capacity does the U.S. nursing home system have to care for new residents now?
So it's estimated that the average occupancy rate of nursing homes is about 84% in the United States. However, that doesn't account for the number of beds that are actually online. So if you count the number of certified beds, that may underestimate the availability of nursing home care.
What contributed to the high closure rates in recent years? Why are nursing homes closing?
Nursing homes most at risk of closure tend to have a high percentage of stays covered by Medicaid. These are individuals receiving long-term care. As you may know, nursing homes care for two populations, those receiving post-acute care, typically following a hospital discharge, and also individuals receiving long-term care. Now, a common misconception is that Medicare covers long-term care, which isn't the case. Medicaid, if your income and assets are low enough, does cover long-term care. And about two-thirds of individuals receiving long-term care in nursing homes have those stays covered by Medicaid. And nursing homes with a disproportionate share of Medicaid-covered stays are at higher risk of closing.
Both you in your article and Alensky and Grabowski in another perspective article talk about workforce constraints in this sector. Why haven't nursing homes been able to recruit and retain sufficient staff?
Staffing is a key issue in terms of nursing homes' operating capacity. So there's been a decline since the pandemic in the level of staffing in nursing homes. They've had, as you point out, a difficult time recruiting and retaining staff. And there are some reasons that were present even before the pandemic, which COVID-19 amplified behind declining levels of staffing. For example, these are very difficult jobs. They are very physically and mentally demanding. Additionally, they pay low wages, and there are very few opportunities for advancement. This makes it difficult to recruit and retain staff. And these challenges were amplified by the pandemic.
So given all of this, what effect do you expect reduced access to nursing homes to have on older adults and family caregivers in coming years?
So if there's limited access to nursing homes and individuals are forced to stay in the community longer, that puts an increased burden on unpaid caregivers, more than is already taking place. So individuals typically, I think all of us would prefer to reside in the community or to age at home rather than being placed in a nursing home. And so there's been advocacy for increased use of home and community-based services, and there's been growth in assisted living. However, home and community-based services don't provide adequate care in many cases for individuals. For example, those who have moderate to severe dementia who may require 24-hour care, or individuals with complex medical illness. And likewise, assisted living tends to not provide the level of medical oversight needed for those individuals. So that adds to the caregiver burden if nursing homes have constrained supply, leading to reduced access for individuals needing that level of care.
Finally, what policy options exist for increasing the availability of these long-term care services in the United States? And then how feasible is new legislation or regulation given the current political environment?
There are a few different options. First, Medicaid payment policy could incorporate targeted stabilization adjustments for nursing homes. For example, this could mirror critical access protections for hospitals. For example, facilities with disproportionate share of Medicaid-covered stays, or those in rural areas, for example, where closures might be most damaging since individuals wouldn't have other options potentially if a nursing home closed. Other options might include addressing workforce policy. This is something that the paper by Andrew Linsky and David Grabowski really drills into. So you should think of long-term care workforce policy as long-term care infrastructure policy, because you can't fill beds if you don't have the staff to provide care. So encouraging wage increases or investments in training would be one pathway to do that. However, that would require additional funding. And right now, with Medicaid cuts looming due to the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, that's unlikely. Likewise, creating a dedicated visa pathway or encouraging immigration for individuals who would work in this sector would be another pathway. But given current immigration policy, that's also unlikely.
Thank you, Dr. Unruh.